The second reading is taken from St. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. It can be found on page 1076 of your Bibles. Page 1076, John 10, starting to read at verse 1. The shepherd and his flock. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. Lovely to be here again. I'm Stephen Fletcher, reader in Bourne End and Sunnyside, and also soon to be reader licensed to the Church of Ireland in four parishes on the west coast of Ireland. That happens later this month, which is very exciting. It still means I'll be here, but it just means that I'll be official when I go to Ireland. Very exciting. So last bank holiday Monday and Tuesday, I was at a conference in London with nine other people from Sunnyside. There we are. We were at the HTB Leadership Conference. We were among 6,000 people taking part from over 80 countries. Just imagine that. It was quite impressive to see all those people from the different countries. And they'd come to this conference, which was spread over various buildings in West London. It was in the Royal Albert Hall. It was HTB, which is where that picture is taken. We were sat outside having our lunch. It was a great opportunity to come together and to have some really good worship and some really good teaching. And we were especially fortunate in those days that Tom managed to find us deals, and we ate at the end of each day. We went to a restaurant, he'd got some vouchers that got massive discounts on the food, and so all done on his phone. Amazing. 40% off. Impressive. So quite apart from saving money, we were also enjoying the fellowship together. And as you probably note, there's one or two things in that picture which are you're not sure about. One of them is probably, why am I holding the remains of a banana in my right hand? I don't know. You'd think, having a team photo picture taken, I might have thought to perhaps discreetly dispose of it somewhere. Anyway, the other thing that you'll probably noticed is there is someone in the back row there that you might not have seen before. If you have seen her, you certainly haven't spoken to her, because you've been instructed, quite rightly, that we're not to speak. In fact, she said that somebody had come up to her and said, oh, you're the lady we're not allowed to speak to, but can I give you a hug instead? And I think that probably conveys Sunnyside in its best light. So, but you will become very familiar with that face. That is Rebecca, of course. And it was lovely to have her with us. And we shared fellowship and we had a chance to get to know each other. So that was a really useful time. And this course on this conference on leadership, I thought actually links quite well with the passage today. So I think as we just have a look at this, let's just have a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to look at this example that John gives us of the leadership, I pray that we all may learn and understand how we can follow the example of our Lord and teach and lead others that they may have life and have it abundantly. Amen. Well, as I said at the leadership conference, one of the speakers, all of the speakers actually, were describing their vision of a great speaker. And, you know, various themes came out. Someone who cared for people under them, someone who shared empathy with them, someone who gave their people's lives purpose. And perhaps it was not surprising, as this was a Christian conference, that each of the speakers held at the forefront of their vision the most perfect, empathetic, purposeful example of leadership we have right here in our Bibles. And we see this in the passage this morning, the Good Shepherd. One of the speakers at the conference was Jean Vanier. A fascinating chap, a French-Canadian, son of a diplomat. He was educated in England and in France and then in the Dartmouth Naval College. And on leaving that, he joined the Royal Navy. But he was a bit disillusioned and he left the Royal Navy in 1964. And through his friendship with a French Catholic priest, he became aware of the plight of thousands of people who'd been institutionalized, really, with development disabilities. And he decided he would set up a community in France called L'Arche to care for them. And that now operates in 35 countries. So that was the sort of level of speaker that we were having. He's much quoted by Archbishop Justin. And it just so happens that 2 weeks ago, coincidentally, Dick lent me a copy of his book, Drawn into the Mystery of Jesus Through the Gospel of John. And that's been very helpful as I've been preparing for this passage. I think it's important that as we look at this passage, we realise who John is writing for. John, we believe, was a Jew, and he was writing for early Christians. And he was also writing for those searching who are non-Christians. And he describes exactly the purpose that he wrote his gospel for. In chapter 20, verse 21, he says that his purpose was to reveal that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That was his purpose in doing that. And so we see, as we go through the gospel, so many times there are gospel references, there are nuances which refer us back to the Old Testament prophecies, which show that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And in verse 3 of our passage today, I don't know if you'd like to just have it open in front of you, we read, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I wonder if that rings any bells with you. Well, I'm sure it would have done with the early Christians, with his early Jewish readers. Just have a think about Isaiah 43. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. you are mine. Then it goes on, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. You are precious and honoured in my sight. Of course, they'd have been familiar with that scripture, wouldn't they? And so here it is. John is referring to that just to make it home. And then Isaiah goes on, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant who I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. The imagery that Jesus is creating here would have resonated with his Jewish hearers. They would have made that link. And I think as you read that, certainly for me, you realise how powerful the use of our name is. Our names are a very powerful way of gaining our trust, which is why salespeople are taught to use names in their sales patter. It's why you're something like 6 times more likely to read emails and letters that are addressed to you personally by name. But isn't that passage from Isaiah so comforting and reassuring? I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And as we read further, we see that the sheep follow the good shepherd because they know his voice. And that's something I saw 40 years ago. I was out in southwest Iran in the wilds, the way down in the oil fields. And as we were there, putting roads in there, I remember seeing shepherds in Iran. They were nomadic. They used to lead their sheep hundreds of miles to find fresh pasture. You'd drive around a corner and you'd see a trail of these sheep. And then you'd see the black tents where they were staying for perhaps a week or so until the pasture was exhausted. But the point was, they didn't drive their sheep. They didn't, like we see on One Man and His Dog. You know, it wasn't like that. They didn't have dogs nipping at their heels and shouting at them and whistling at them, trying to drive them. No, they walked ahead of them and they were chattering. I don't know what they were saying, but you could hear them chattering. And that was all they did. They just, as they walked, they chattered. And the sheep followed. They followed them all the way along. They trusted the voice they heard. It wasn't really, not so much one man and his dog. It was more the Pied Piper, really. They follow the shepherd. I've seen it again in the plains in Spain, in La Mancha. I've seen the similar thing. The shepherd leading his sheep. Huge processions of sheep stretching out along the space by the side of the road. All following the shepherd's voice and leading them to fresh pasture. But shepherding is also about caring for those who are weak, those lost and in need. It's all about presence, about love, about respect. And of course, we all know how reassuring it is to hear the voice of someone who loves us, a voice encouraging and supporting us, a voice showing us the way to follow. It could be a parent, a partner, or, as here in John's Gospel, the voice of one who calls us by name. But the problem is for us in this hectic world, the problem is we have a problem hearing the voice above the clamour and the cacophony and the clatter of our modern lives. We're so busy shouting ourselves to overcome other people's strident voices that we can lose the ability to listen, lose the ability to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. We need to work at it, don't we? We need to make space in our lives to hear that voice. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. As Jean Vanier says, Jesus loves us abundantly and wants to give us all we need to grow in wisdom and greater human and spiritual maturity. Being a good shepherd does not mean being perfect, for none of us is perfect. Instead, it's being humble and open, recognizing one's faults and compulsions, and asking for God's forgiveness when we have not acted justly. In L'Arche, we need to ask forgiveness of people with disabilities with whom we have been too harsh. All those in leadership are called to be a model for forgiveness. We cannot help others to grow to greater maturity if we ourselves are not seeking to grow in that greater maturity, compassion, and acceptance of self and others.